a family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
It's going great, Scott. We got a busy day, but the temperature is supposed to be warm today. And so for Northern Indiana, we are rejoicing in that. But hey, I'm going to kind of forgo the chit chat, even though there probably is some exciting news out there. Aaron Moran died. I can't believe that was Joni Cunningham, but we won't talk about that right now. But we have,
well, that was very sad too, actually.
That was sad, but we're not going to talk about it right now. We're going to talk to Jay Pateleitner, a dad author who's up there in Chicago, and he's a family man, and he has written more things than I have ever read. And he's got a great heart for dad. So Jay, it is good having you with us.
Todd, thank you. And yeah, we should mourn Aaron Moran a little bit. She, died at a young age. But there you go. Moving on.
That was sad. And she, Southern Indiana. She lived in Southern Indiana trailer. I mean, it just is like, actually, she lived in the town that I was born in, Spencer, Indiana. And,
oh, my.
I probably ran into her down there somewhere, like at Chicago's Pizza.
You're right. Let's move on. I apologize. Okay.
Well, Jay, you're just like the most prolific writer I've ever. I don't even know how you have time to talk to us now, but I know you have a family. So tell us about your family.
Okay. Well, I have four boys, all out of college and married and productive members of society, paying into yours and my Social Security. So God bless that. That's awesome. And I have my youngest is a little girl who's not so little anymore. She, Rayanne, went to West Point. And then and hit the home run that sent him into the NCAA tournament. Then she blew out her knee and her ankle and had some concussions, so she had to leave West Point. And she ended up in the University of Dublin, Ireland. And she's still working those details out. So a great family. Keep my kids are doing well. It's God's blessing, clearly. And, you know, that's nothing because I have six grandbabies now.
Wow.
All three and under. Bang, bang, they start coming real quick.
That's awesome.
And as a matter of fact, my wife is upstairs right now watching baby Reese, who's just turned a year and a half. And what a blessing it is. It's crazy. So anybody out there, here's the message for dads today. Hey, dads, if you want to strangle your 14-year-old right now, if you just want to strangle them, just, you know, give them a few years, maybe a decade or so. They're going to give you grandbabies. And so hold off on the strangling.
Who, for the joy set before him, endured the parenting?
Okay, a little paraphrase there.
So how, you again? You've written a lot of books. How'd you get into writing?
Well, I was in advertising at Michigan Avenue for a decade or so, writing short things for Midway Airlines and Corona Beer and Kroger grocery stores and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and I wrote coupon ads for Veg-All. And then my faith was growing, and I was like the Christian guy, and my kids were getting bigger. So I ended up at a little Christian ad agency in Wheaton, Illinois, and I was producing Josh McDowell radio and doing stuff for Chuck Colson and for the National Center for Fathering. And then I wrote a book, just a little 1,200-word allegory. And then I wrote another book, and then I wrote a book for dads, and that really took off. My first book that really took off was 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad, and it's just 52 short chapters because I write short, and guys have short attention spans. You know that, Todd.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
because your attention span is so short. I get it.
Exactly. You've already lost me.
You are a step ahead of me always. When I read your stuff, Todd, it's like, oh, how did you get to, oh, that's fantastic. Anyway, all that to say, once you write a book and a Christian publisher gets a hold of you and it sells, then they start saying, hey, can you write a book on this? So my first book, 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad, sold 150,000 copies. And so Harvest House said, hey, Jay, can you write a book for the same audience, 52 Things Wives Need from Their Husbands? It's the same kind of audience, but it's just short chapters for husbands. And I said, sure. Then hey, can you write 152 Things That Husbands Need from Their Wives for Wives? Yeah, sure, I can write that. And so the first book for dads, probably took me about, you know, 2-3 years to write. But the next ones, you know, if you just sit down and do it, you can do it in about 3 or 4 months. We'll do some research and talking about it with other people. So, if anybody wants to go online and see all my crazy books, I'm working on book number 26 now, I think. JPayLightner.com. Hard to spell, but they'll figure it out.
I think you can write them in like an hour and a half now. Well, no. Because you just, time I get your email, you have another book coming out.
It's deceptive because I didn't have anything come out in 2016, but I had three different books come out in the last 2 months with three different publishers. And again, a little deceptive, but thank you. And I'm sure you memorized everything and every page.
I have. What are we talking about? Have you always had a focus on men? I mean, even before you wrote your first book, I mean, because I assume that was pulled out of, life.
Yeah.
What motivates you now? Because you do have kind of a dad slant, a husband slant, a man slant.
I focus on men because for years I was focusing on me, trying to get it right. You know, help me out, help me through this, or help me be patient, or help me get it right. And so if you do that long enough, you learn some real lessons if you surrender your days to your days and your failures and your wins and victories to God. Then I just shared those because I was sharing it with my small group, and I was a voice of reason in my small group. There, I happened to be Todd in a small group, and I recommend that for all guys, of course. I was like a half a generation, so I was like maybe 40, and these guys were all 30. So I had teenagers when they had, you know, little gremlins. And so the people that kept asking me, it's like, man, I'm no hero, but I had been there. And so out of that came the first book for dads. It's really about the mentoring thing and the holding each other accountable thing and guys helping each other, guys help out, help if that made sense.
Oh, yeah, because we do need help because we tend to pull right or left, whatever. And it doesn't take very long before we've missed out. God's best.
Exactly. Well said. Yeah.
So what do you do, you know, as a dad? What do you do best as a dad?
I am there. I am because I produced all this radio stuff and I was working for myself for years. I never missed a single, you know, I never missed anything. I made sure I was there for everything. Sometimes I'd get up and work in the middle of the night. I'd do my best work, you know, focused work between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m., but I would make all the events. I would plug in. I would have lunch with. I would, rock the baby, and I would drive kids over here. And so being there is and all dads can't do that. I mean, there are some dads who do put in the 60-hour work weeks, and that's honorable. It totally is. I don't want to ever beat up on a dad for, some of these dads, you know, travel during the week. One of the stories I tell is about I love coaching 8-9-year-olds in baseball and softball because you know more than they do still at that age.
Right.
And in a few years. I had a little guy one time on my team. He was pretty good. Not the best kid on the team, pretty good. But his dad could not make it to the games because we played on Tuesday and Thursday evenings. His dad worked all week, was traveling. And I'm not going to beat up on that dad for that. That happens sometimes in a season of life. It's a shame. And maybe you want to adjust that, or maybe you want to see if you can work that out. But if that happens for a year, it happens. But we had a rain out, and so we were going to make the game up on Saturday. And this little guy was going, oh, my dad, Coach Paylightner, my dad can come to my game. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm going to help this kid out. I'm going to help this dad out. I'm going to start the kid at shortstop. I'll bat him second in the lineup, and then Saturday morning came, and the kid's hanging his head. And I, what's up, champ? Well, my dad couldn't come. He had to play golf.
Wow.
And the dad didn't know what he was missing. The kid didn't know. The kid was used to it. You know, I was angry.
Right.
So the lesson there might be a couple things. Make your kids your hobby. Maybe put away your golf clubs for a season of life, or whatever your hobby is. Maybe do that. So I was there. This dad missed it out. Didn't know what he was missing out. I haven't kept track. Maybe they're fine. I hope they are. I pray that, certainly. But you know what? If you're, and you know this, Todd, if your 3-year old's into dinosaurs, you being a dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. You know what? If your 7-year old daughter is into American Girl, get out your checkbook. But you be into American Girl. Not, don't get her every doll, but one doll with an outfit here, if they're for birthdays and Christmas, it's a great thing. And if you're 15-year-olds into skateboarding, oh my golly! But for that season, you be into skateboarding. So that would be one of my things. You know what? Enter their world when you can. Is my point. And then later on, they'll enter your world.
Amen. Amen. So you know, because it's kind of like a two-edged sort of daddom. You know. Because every dad's good at something. I mean, I meet dads who are, they're organized and they're intentional. And it always makes me feel like a loser. And even maybe by listening to you, they're going like, oh, man, he's probably there all the time. And he does all these amazing things because you're high energy. Is there a hard part of being a dad for you?
Well, yeah, when your 14-year-old son says, Dad, you can't come to any more of my games. I don't want you at any more of my games. Because I was the jerk in the stands for too long. Mm. Now we worked it out, and that made me when your kid confronts you like that, don't push back at him. Listen, man, listen. I was a jerk in the stands, and I can play videotapes in my mind right now of who I was and how I acted. It's like what a complete and utter. Well, yeah, there you go. I've apologized to people, and I've worked it out, and I got better over the years, and I had my wife hold me accountable on some things, which is hard to do, sweetheart. Right. If you see me get this way, give me a little nudge. That's really hard thing to do. But I used to literally, I'd be in the stands with car keys jammed into my hands, so that I wouldn't be a jerk. Or you learn to do things like. You know what? Just walk down to the end of the foul pole. Just walk down to the foul pole, or with the other dads who are being jerks. Right. And I maybe I'm overstating it too much. I wasn't that terrible, but I didn't yell at the kids. I was yelling at umpires, and I was yelling at the situation and kind of thing. So I'm broken. Thanks for Todd for bringing this up, because I'm a broken right now.
Well, if I can't get you to cry, I don't feel like I will have done my job well here. But does that carry on sometimes into a dad? Because maybe not the same intensity, but are you? I mean, you sound like you'd be one of those competitive dads that if you're gonna do it, you might as well do it right, kind of dad.
Well, yes. Some of your best. That's the way we're all wired. Some of your best attributes are really the flip side of that is a negative attribute. So. That would be a great insight for any dad listening right now is what's really great about you. Just don't go too far with it, or don't turn right. don't turn to the dark side. Not that we're doing Star Wars.
You're going to turn that into a book. I know you are.
We could write that together, Todd.
There you go. Well, let's talk about a few of your books because you have lots of books. I mean, it doesn't take very long. You know, I love the 52 things because I think, like you said, you know, it's very digestible. I like short chapters. I know dads like short chapters. Well, tell us about, some of your that fascinate me are if God wrote your bucket list. What if God wrote your bucket list? Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, for sure. Well, let's say out of the first 15, 16 some books I wrote, about 2/3 of them were for parents. For parents or husbands and wives, family relationships, because mm-hmm. That's the building block of society. We got to get that right, guys. Holy cow, we need to get that right. And if you're messing up on that, you have some fixing to do and apologizing to do and such. But I'd talk to dads and I give them my best stuff, and we do talking to a group of dads or somebody who read one of my books, and they'd still be broken. It's like, well, wait a second, you've read my book for dads or my book for husbands. Mm-hmm. How could you still be broken? Well. We need to fix ourselves and get right with God too. And there's spiritual stuff in my parenting books, but I realized that we need to get ourselves right. We need to in the book, What If God Wrote Your Bucket List, are those truths that we is not oh, by the way, you know, swimming with the sharks and taking your wife to Paris,
right?
And it's not, are not on the, are not in the book, are not on God's bucket list. Dinner at the White House or bungee jumping are not on God's bucket list. Things like understanding that there is evil out in the world, going to funerals, getting fired, making sure your name is written in the book of life are on God's bucket list. Striving valiantly, there are things there. It all starts with stories. And one of them is one of the stories, again, what if God wrote your bucket list? One of them is being conned at a county fair. And I tell the story of when I was 16, my girlfriend Sally, who didn't end up being, I did marry my high school sweetheart, but Sally and I were at the county fair, and the guy, this carnival worker comes in, carny comes in and lures me over to his stand, and I throw darts to the balloon, and he really quickly gets the $14 I had in my pocket, because back then I had $14 in my pocket. He got all $14 real quick and then shooed me away because he had all my money. And then instead of sulking away or getting angry, I walked on the other side of the midway there, the gravel midway, and watched. And he did the same thing to three more guys. He took all the, got all their money, guys who were older and smarter than me. And it's like, wow, this guy is just evil. This guy, he's very good at what he does. There is crud out there. There is, so we need to figure out how to deal with that. We need to admit that this world is an evil place. So that's one of the things on your bucket list, guys. Anybody listening, that there is evil in the world, and we need to have a response to that. We need to be empowered to walk away sometimes, to confront it sometimes. That's one of the short chapters, and I love writing short, because one chapter you can laugh, one chapter you can cry, one chapter you can learn something deep, you can dig into some scripture in one, and then the next one you're talking about a list of the book for dads, 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad. One of the best chapters that I get feedback on is the vacation checklist. Before you leave for a vacation, you know, you got to rattle off the 20 things that everybody needs to make sure they have. Their wallets and their cell phones and their chargers and their prescriptions and their sunglasses and their swimsuits, that kind of thing. So it's very practical as well. Anyway,
well, I like that. Oh, and you get another one. I mean, we're just going to jump all over here. Yeah. But you have like quick tips for busy families. Now, is this where the sock, whatever the sock rings?
Yes. yes. That's actually my latest. That's my first one with Bethany House. And I'm just delighted to be working with them. Quick tips for busy families. The quick story there is, and I hope I don't get in trouble for this, that the working title was Parenting Hacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, hacks are good things, right?
Right.
Hacks to men in their 30s, hacks are good things because they know that that's just the shortcuts.
Right.
But when it got upstairs to the
old people,
well, don't say that because you get me in trouble. But to some,
I'm sure they're all listening to my show right now.
Hacks are bad things, like if someone hacks into a computer or does a hack job on something. So we changed it, because I would love to be the hack guy, the parenting hack guy. That'd be versus the family. I'm the family man. I'm the parenting hack guy. But nope, we changed the title to Quick Tips for Busy Families, and it's doing very well. But parenting hacks is really what they are. So shortcuts to being a, and it's for moms and dads, quick tips for busy families. And my favorite one there is probably if you have a 12-year-old and a 4-year-old, or 12 and maybe 5, let's say, a great punishment for the 12-year-old, certainly take away their phones, that kind of thing. But a great punishment is, hey, you have to play Monopoly, you have to play Candyland with your little sister.
We've done that before.
That's fantastic. Or your family man. You can play your family man game, your family man Christmas game.
Exactly. That's not a punishment.
Well, to play your game.
Got to read one of Jay's books.
Oh, God. No, but here's why it's so funny is we made that gave that punishment to my oldest son, Alec. Alec, you have to play Candyland with Rayanne. Well, he stacked the deck. He stacked the deck. So So Rayanne won in four moves. Went up to the float ice cream float falls, and two moves later she won. So she's delighted. She's happy. He's done his punishment in 90 seconds, and they're done. And so, well, should we be mad at him? No, it was great and clever. then the next time he stacked the deck again, and he jumped ahead, and she went. Rayanne went ahead one little spot at a time. Blue, purple, green, and she's all mad. And he went. So, anyways, the Candyland penance, we call it. My favorite stories again.
That's
in the book,
awesome.
In the book, Quick Tips for Busy Families.
Well, that's where I just got your email, which is a great email, and I encourage everybody to sign up for it. But you had the sock rings in there, and that's when you gave away your personality right there.
Uh-oh.
That, well, you're a sock ring guy.
Well, I lied. I was waiting for my kids to push back at me, because sometimes, of course, my kids, my four sons and my daughter, are on my email list, and they'll email me back, Dad, that's not the way it was. That's not the way I remember it.
Right.
Because the sock ring story is, and no, people listening go, what is a sock ring? I don't know what that is, but well, Google it. Google sock ring. You'll see what it is.
It's a way to keep them mated while they're being washed.
You take them off and you slide it through the little plastic ring and you throw it in and it washes. Occasionally it'll tear a little thread once in a while, but not too bad. It works especially great for athletic socks. All that to say, I said in my cleverly written email this week that no socks were allowed in the laundry unless they had sock rings mated together to keep them together. Well, that's a total lie, because the boys would throw their socks in the laundry, and then they had to match them. And you know what? The punchline of the whole thing is, by the time our kids were about 12 or 13, they did their own laundry. You know what? Do your own laundry. Mom or I would, but Mom would say, hey, anybody got any jeans or whites? Throw your whites down. But in general, you know what? Teenagers should be doing their own laundry. They really should, because they know what's on it. And unless you always have one kid who never washes anything then. And then you got to track them down and lasso them and chase their jeans down the hallway and do that. And that's a gift. That suddenly, then, if Mom does a load of your laundry, it's a gift.
Right.
And you're even more appreciative.
Well, I'm looking all over this. I was introduced to your dad manifesto from a little, not quite poster size. I had a poster, 8.5 by 11, I guess, sheet of it. And I was just intrigued by your dad manifesto. Maybe you should just explain that so I don't have to, and then ask you about it.
Well, it's just a black and white, lots of words on a page, and you can kind of picture that. But it's got some of my great truths that I've learned over the years. And there is a 2-foot by 3-foot version of it available online. You can kind of Google Google the Dad Manifesto and eventually get to my website to see that. And it is things like, and jump in there. We could do, if you got in front of you, give noogies.
I don't have it in front of me, so okay. You're on your own here. Just make them up.
Give noogies. Don't curse the train. Count the train cars. We do that. And each one of these has a much longer story. Dad, if you stop at a train and if you got your kids in the car, they're all glad that it's a long train to count the freight cars, and you're all angry. Join them. Don't curse the train. Count the cars. Buy a unicycle. I did that for Randy when he was 11, and he never rode it, but that's okay because we open doors for kids. That's what we do for as parents. We open doors. Quit smoking. Hold your baby. Rake leaves together, and then stop raking to watch the geese fly south in V formation. Wake your kid for a lunar eclipse. Hey, Todd, if you got a 7-year-old at home and there's a lunar eclipse in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. and it's a school night, does Mom want you to wake up that little guy or that little gal?
Of course not.
Of course not. Should you?
Yes. Who's the man in this castle?
Yes. Right. And then the next day at school, when the little guy, little gal, kind of is falling asleep, hey, what's wrong, Sally? What's wrong, Tom? And he says, well, my dad got me up in the middle of the night for the lunar eclipse. And all the kid, the teacher understands. All the kids are jealous. And how long will that little 7-year-old remember that?
Only forever.
Forever. What's that? Is that from a movie? Forever. Sandlot. Sandlot.
Okay.
There's 52. It happens to be 52 items of the Dad Manifesto. Apologize when you mess up. Be amazed when they bring you a bug, dandelion, or shiny rock. Teach rock, paper, scissors to your kids. Here's my one of my last clues for the day. Ready? Between teach a 4-year-old rock, paper, scissors. They will love that because they can beat you at that, right?
Right.
They can't beat you at driveway basketball or ping pong, but they can beat you at rock, paper, scissors. But here's the big clue. Between 4 and 9, their first throw will always be scissors. So if you're trying to figure out who's going to take out the trash, then you throw. Let's play for rock, paper, scissors. Who throws out the trash to your 7-year-old? Boom, boom, boom. You throw rock, they throw scissors, and they have to take out the trash. Now, if they need a victory in their life, then you throw paper, and then they win. Mm-hmm. See? Guarantee that.
That's awesome.
Your wasted time will be refunded if that doesn't work.
Well, I may check that out, actually, today. But, you know, the thing I like about your stuff, Jay, is that because, you know, I know there are some serious dads out there who go, well, you know, yeah, but what's that have to do with theological, you know, teaching of your children and raising, you know, and I know there are guys who, and because I've read their books, you know, that are so deep and so I get halfway through them and I go, you know, that's great that he can do it, but I can't do it.
You can do all my stuff.
And that's the thing, you know, and your stuff matters because those things, like you said, a lunar eclipse or rock, paper, scissors or raking leaves, you know, and you go through those 52 things and some of us dads are going to say, but we haven't done very many of them.
Okay. Don't beat yourself up. Start now. But every one of those things can have a spiritual component. When you're outside, look at the lunar eclipse, look at the stars and you say, man, who put those out there? You understand, right? God's hand is that wide, and suddenly you're doing a little science, a little spiritual truth. You're talking about who God is, you know what? I have made mistakes, Todd. I think maybe you've made one or two fathering mistakes in the last
today. Day. Today.
Don't beat yourself up. Start today. Enter their world. Don't go golfing this Saturday. Instead, take your, you know, do something else. Do something with your kid. Do something silly with your kid. Use these triggers. You know, when the church down the street does the Christmas nativity scene with the live donkeys, go do that. When McDonald's Shamrock Shakes come out, go do that with your family. Use the triggers when the opening day comes. Get the tickets for the local minor league team. You don't have to do this all by yourself and ask your kids what they want to do. It's not like you have to be this great dad. You just have to be there
and be
available. And you know that better. You know that better than anybody else, Todd.
No, I don't. It's easy. It's easy to write about it. It's easy to say I want to do it. Jay. So if, you know, the guys are listening and they're like, which first book from Jay would you recommend?
Oh, you know what? You can't go wrong with this one that's sold 160,000 copies now. 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad. And from there, you can jump onto all the other ones. That's a great one. And you know what? The new one from Bethany House, especially for moms or dads, get that for mom for Mother's Day. Quick Tips for Busy Families. Quick tips.
Awesome.
Quick Tips for Busy Families. Thanks for making that point and letting me sell my books.
And of course they could go to Amazon, get those, but they can also come and find you at your website. Where would they find you?
Should we spell Payliner once for your fans?
You better.
Well, first name is Jay, J-A-Y. Second name starts P-A-Y. And then the middle part is an old German name. It has an E-I in it. So it's L-E-I-T-N-E-R. Payliner. P-A-Y-L-E-I-T-N-E-R. And you know what? I sold 500,000 books, so my books are out there. You can find them. They're in bookstores. They're They're in, like I said, Amazon or all those places. There you go. Oh,
well, I've sold well over a dozen books.
I heard that.
And so I'm still amazed. He's got great resources. They can sign up for your email. Can they do that at your website?
They can do that at my website, which is jpayleitner.com.
Okay.
And I think I've been around long enough. If you misspell Payleitner, J. Payleitner, Google and those search engines will still get you over there, pretty much.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Crazy.
Because I was looking for it, and I think I misspelled it, and it found it.
So, isn't technology just frightening? It really is
frightening.
It really is. Guys, if you search for something just once, you know, if you let your mind drift and you let your lower self, your sinful self, grab something, it'll find you and grab you. It'll keep coming back and pop up years for decades, it seems like. So, and I experienced that firsthand. Yeah. Not too bad stuff, but, you know, wow. Holy cow. Yeah. So rescue your kids from that.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right. So if you Google Jay a couple times, every Facebook page now will have one of his books on the sidebar.
Is that right? That'd be fantastic.
I don't know. Well, Jay, it is a pleasure. We're going to have you back again because you're just too much fun. Exactly. And you're wearing me out just listening to you.
No. It's empowering, Todd. It's empowering.
Do you ever take a nap? Do you ever sleep?
I did not sleep well last night.
Okay. Well, you're on high octane right now. I love it. I mean, Scott over here is probably dead.
I do all the sleeping for all three of us. So don't worry.
That's right. There you go. Right. Well, thanks, Jay, for being on the show. Keep doing what you're doing.
And you, you too, Todd. Thanks, man. God bless.
Hey, Scott, I don't know about you, but I was encouraged, encouraged again, because I'm going to go take a look at some of those books. And I really appreciate just the push to do those simple things that any dad can do. You don't have to write a manifesto. You don't have to do anything. I mean, even on his manifesto, it's like get an ice cream cone and sit on the curb. Those are eternal things. So, Dad, maybe you take a look over at Jay's website. Check out his dad manifesto or just look at some of the things in the chapters through an Amazon, peek inside and then do one of them this weekend. Don't do them all. Just pick one that you can do and do it. And you need to do it because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, dads. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. And a special thank you to Jay Payleitner. Check him out at jpayleitner.com. Dads, if you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. I want to ask a bonus question.
Go ahead.
Oh, we still here? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're still here. I'm still recording. You can't get away that easy. I want to ask a bonus question. What would you say to maybe a dad out there who would like to become an author? Huh. How do you start?
Well, there's already too many books for dads out there.
That's not where you want to. So you want to be a woman, actually.
Right. You want to be a pastor's wife because they have. You know what? Get it down on paper. Start. Put something down. Start writing right now. So there's the writing part of it and the publishing part of it. So I would say just start writing your things. Start a blog. Do that kind of thing. You got to master and practice your skill. And then if you want to get published, if you want to actually sell some books, then you got to start building a platform, which is through some kind of the blogosphere or the Twitterverse. Boy, if you can get hooked up with a ministry that you volunteer with, that'll get you more contacts. I think I snuck in right under the wire. My first book came before social media was so critical. Right now you have to have that platform because publishing is a business.
They want you to help sell their books.
Exactly right. And they don't do ads anymore. I made pretty good money in the 90s. Well, no, actually in the aughts, like in the 90s, late 90s, doing ads, writing ads for publishers, I did ads for books for Jim Dobson, and Jerry. I did the first ad for Left Behind.
Mm. Wow!
So I take all the credit for that.
You can put that on your tombstone.
All that to say, they don't. Nobody does ads anymore. There's no place to put them. The magazines are all closed down.
Right. Excuse me. Well, Jay, you were saying, you said, are we still on? That's the thing, weird thing about like doing a radio interview, because they just cut you off. They just drop you off. And you're
they do. Yeah.
Am I still on?
Well, because they got news coming up. They got news at the top of the hour.
That's right. Well, hey, I got to run. Jay, thanks for taking the time to do this. I sure appreciate it. You do great work.
Well, again, you've been inspiring me from a distance for a long time. And when you get to the western suburbs of Chicago, let me know. We'll hang out.
Okay.
For sure.
Hey, have a great day.
God bless.
Hey, see ya.
Bye.